You're listening to The Creative Pivot, and I'm your host, Heather B. And today, Oswald Perez is my guest on this bonus episode of The Creative Pivot. Oswald and I met, as many do these days, online. We were both fans of Kathy Heller's Don't Keep Your Day Job podcast and took on the challenge of the Made to Do This 12-week course in early 2020. Oswald has grown so much as a person and as a writer this year, stepping out of his comfort zone and taking on this challenging year, as many of us have, and we discuss his emotional journey. Today, October 27th, he is releasing his ebook called A Poetic Journey, Staying at Home, that documents this. His poetry touches on how COVID has impacted his life this year, as well as his life with cerebral palsy and his memories from his childhood. His new website, oswaldperez.com, has launched, and you can purchase a copy of his ebook in his store. This is a bonus episode of The Creative Pivot because, as I am sure you have guessed, Oswald is neither in midlife or a woman, but he is a great example of someone that is choosing his own path in life, forging a new way of looking at the world, and working on fighting through those limiting beliefs that keep us small. It's time to meet Oswald. Why don't we start off and have you introduce yourself with talking about your book that is coming out on October 27th.
Sure. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Oswald Perez. I am a writer. And as Heather mentioned in the introduction, I do have my book of poems coming out, A Poetic Journey, Staying at Home. That's due to be released on Tuesday, October 27th. I'm going to be releasing it through my own website, oswaldperez.com, which instead, up until this point, I would have my blog on the WordPress site here, my poems posted to Instagram, and my longer writings posted to Substack. Now, it's all going to be gathered in as close to one place as it's all going to be in one new home coming up, in addition to the book being released.
Well, and I think that's nice because what I've been hearing from people, and I think I feel the same way, is that, you know, you know something's coming out and then you forget. Like, where were they releasing it? Was it in their Facebook group or their Facebook page? Where did they put a link? Was it in an email I got? So being able to know that if I want to find your book or your poems or anything about you, that I can just go to your website, I think is very helpful. It's almost like a return to how we used to go and get information.
Yeah, before we ended up finding having it scattered in multiple directions. Like, it's as close to centrally located as I can possibly get.
Yeah. Well, you and I would say we kind of met during Kathy Heller's Made to Do This, but really I think we got to know each other a little better after that wrapped up. Yeah. But because Made to Do This had 300 plus people in it.
About 307 by my count. The count that's on the group's Facebook page. That's like they tell you how many members are actually in here, and it's 307.
And I was always kind of, I just appreciated how much you were always stepping in the conversations in the group, you know, giving feedback and being so supportive. And I think others in the group also saw that of how you were always so consistent. An alumni group of us kind of started, and we called ourselves Still Made to Do This, and you continued to show up because you knew you had more work that you wanted to do, right?
Exactly. Like, at the end of Made to Do This, I felt granted, like, the momentum, like for the first 9 weeks of the program, it was a bit of a struggle trying to find my thing, I remember the first meeting with Wendy and we were in the same accountability pod with each other. I would not turn on the camera to show myself to save my life. because I'm like, I don't want people to see me. But Wendy was pretty much insistent right at the start. You have to turn the camera. You can't hide behind the photo of your Zoom profile. You have to show yourself. And I figure, okay, I might as well show myself and show up for everyone else over the course of the program, even if I was struggling to find my thing and didn't find it until about 9 weeks in. And on the night of a hot seat where it was powerful, which was why, like, the moment Kathy Heller said my name, the chat blew up. And I was about to, like, make a run for it. I'm like, oh no, after 9 weeks, I have little to show for my efforts. Like, I'm going to embarrass myself in front of everybody. I won't be able to live it down. But Wendy and our colleague Sherry Pear, both, which I'm thankful to both of them for, they both, like, reminded me, Oswald, Kathy called your name. She called your name. And with a little bit of technical difficulty to, like, stall for time just to get myself, there was a little bit of technical difficulty that night, which kind of delayed the order of the hot seats, which was a blessing in disguise, really, because I needed, like, time to get my head together and realize, okay, you just got called. Don't freak out. Like, you just, this is your moment. Like, don't, if you let this go, you're gonna end up regretting it if you don't take this moment. And lo and behold, over the course of the conversation at night, everything changed. Because up until that point, my Instagram feed was just merely posts of me just going around town, doing things and writing about them underneath the caption. Like, the notion of me, like, writing poems and using backdrops for them never really, like, didn't really, like, gather an appeal to me until I started to see Morgan Harper Nichols' work. And I'm like, okay, there might be actually be something to this. About 12 hours later, the next morning, I had my first piece ready to go.
But I mean, because of this call, so these hot seats that Kathy would do, it was really to dig in to say, okay, who are you? What do you do? And she really just had a way of getting right in there to, well, do this. Why aren't you doing this? And what was your feeling when, you know, she kind of said it and the support was so, like, 100%? Yeah.
It was overwhelming. I had my towel next to me because I was like, didn't want to see anyone see me crying in tears like that late at night. Like, I had my towel right next to me because I guess it was so emotional that, like, after all this time, like, after 9 weeks of struggling and years of, like, everyone telling me that, oh, you should write your own book. Oh, you should, like, write your book. Should try to, like, see what you can do with your writing. It's so good. And it's just, like, it all clicked in that moment, which it was, like, nine weeks and, like, years of waiting before that moment of that light bulb went off.
And because of that, you've been on the Don't Keep Your Day Job podcast how many times now?
Twice. The first time I gave, after me to do this wrapped up in the midst of the feed, we got a feedback form back from Kathy and her team. One of the questions was, if you were in the hot seat, do we have your permission to air it? I said yes. I did not expect in July, 4 months later, in July, that it would actually air, and then it blew up. And then the second time around, about a week or so after the hot seat, Kathy announced in the 10th week that if you submitted your homework for the first 10 weeks of the course, you would be in the running to be featured on Kathy's podcast. I thought to myself, Okay, it's a long shot. There are 307 people in this group. Well, if I don't know if you remember, there was only supposed to be five people chosen initially. There was only going to be five of us picked. But naturally, they got so many responses that they got opened up to 16. So it was like the odds were long. But I figure, okay, I one of that as I was emailing Emma, Kathy's podcast producer, like I laid out the entire like 10 weeks, every homework assignment that we had in one long email. And I thought to myself, I felt a bit of pride for once, because I'm like, I felt proud of myself seeing everything that like was laid out in that body of that email, because I've come really far, even if I didn't get on the podcast. But then on April 27th, that evening, Kathy and her team put out the list of people. And to my surprise, I was on it. I'm like, and I went through all the emotions in the same moment. I was like ecstatic, because after about a month of bad news, because I got furloughed from my job on March 27th. I'm back at my day job now, but it would be a 4 month furlough at the time. I didn't realize it would be that long before I'd be back at my job. But after a month of like the furlough announcement kind of wrecked me. Like all the momentum I had on that Sunday, everything crashed by Friday. I mean, it's understandable. Like everything, because I, as a day job, I work for a nonprofit organization as a donations associate. So naturally, our bit because of the pandemic, business slowed to a crawl, to the point where like everything was getting, all the pickups were getting canceled. Our major fundraiser that was going to be in at the end of April got canceled. So inevitably, I started seeing the writing on the wall. I was like, okay, when are they gonna, like, the words layoff or furlough gonna come? And sadly, that's what happened when the entire department, donations department, got furloughed. But like after a month of like feeling horrible, worried about like, oh, is this gonna be like worry uncertain future, just like bummed to the teeth that like something really good and then something really bad eventually. And thankfully, my family was it, and my family around me. I had the me to do this group around me to like see me through this. And about a month after a month of like bad, month of feeling horrible, that moment that Kathy put the list up of people who were going to be interviewed, I was ecstatic. I ran upstairs like after dinner, told my sister about it, and I had that same beaming smile in the hot seat. It came back. And as the week went on, though, I started like thinking to myself, I went through all the emotions. I was ecstatic. Then I look back and was thinking about, wait a minute, how did I get here? And I guess there must have been some sort of reason which I probably didn't understand then. Maybe it's where I'm meant to be. And then came the fact that, oh, I've never been on a podcast before, ever. I'm gonna like babble my way through this, and then Kathy's audience is gonna find out there's an imposter hiding in there. And then finally, like the day of the podcast interview in May, I was nervous because of the people that I was our colleagues, like all of them, all 16 of them, they're all awesome unto themselves. Like 15 awesome people and me. Like, how did I
Well, you are
end
always
up here?
able, you know, we all are always able to see the good in others, but not see it in themselves, which is I think the importance of finding these communities online during this time to keep us motivated. Yeah, because we all feel that way. Everyone feels that way. Even the people that act like they don't are probably covering up for it the most. They're just good at cover, you know. Why don't we talk about the, so your book is coming out, right? 9 months after the start of Made to Do This, right? So this is your baby book. What are the poems in the book about?
Probably the one most personal poem in that piece in this book is CP, which is short for cerebral palsy. My sister and I were born 6 weeks premature. My parents did not think we would survive. And sadly, all the babies in the NICU at Ushing Hospital in Queens were passing away, except for us. By grace, we survived, which I would later find out that I was diagnosed with the mildest form of cerebral palsy. Even though like I look and sound normal, cerebral palsy does have its effects, where at, like the stammering and the difficulty speaking, I have my left eye, like I was born cross-eyed at birth, but I had surgery on my eye at three months, and the surgery didn't go to plan exactly, so I have difficulty seeing. Blurred vision in my left eye, and most pronounced, I have had multiple surgeries on my legs, particularly my right leg. So I just kind of came to grips after years of feeling horrible about the way, because it was not exactly an easy life, where it's like therapies, orthopedics, multiple surgeries. And just that sense that you're not a normal child. It's like you have this like hill to climb from day one, where it's like you're constantly having to prove yourself to everyone and everything you ever do. The bar is like raised that much higher. Like I get as intimate as I can. Also could be like as analogous as my first day, during the furlough, my manager would contact me like, Oswald, we need PPE, we're packing PPE for first responders. I would take on the job, but it was like the first time I'd stepped out of the house post-pandemic. So it's just like writing about the fact that the Roosevelt Avenue is a lot quieter than the storefronts closed, not as many people around. So my poetry runs the gamut. Like I don't have a specific overarching theme. I mean, there's several like sub themes within the greater work of my greater body of my work, and that extends to my writing as my longer form writing as well.
Well, I think that's why probably the book is such a good capture of what many of us are going through. There's some days where we just feel overwhelmed with COVID and stay at home and then going back to work, and then other days we're just thinking about things we always thought about, about things from our childhood or what we're missing,
or thinking or looking out the window and a rainy day, and like looking out the back, as I do, I have my back window in my room, you see the rain falling, and I'm like, whether it be heavily during the summer or chilly rain during the spring, it makes for fodder. It's like I can run with this. And occasionally, like I use, like for example, like meditate. I guess like I never was big of a fan of meditation before the pandemic began. And I kind of realized, in addition to like being able to like calm down, use it to calm down, it works pretty well as poetic fodder. Like I can just like kind of use it as my base to write.
I think so many of us are feeling almost kind of trapped in our heads more than we would like right now. And maybe that's also why, like, I was talking to you about this resurgence that you see in poetry, and especially among, and I called you a younger writer because you're younger than me, as you know, I'm doing this as a bonus episode because you're obviously not a midlife woman going through a pivot, as I used to say, but you are embracing this creative side that maybe you never really, that people told you you were good at something and you heard them, but you didn't necessarily ever believe them. You know, it was one of those things, they're being nice, whatever, you know, you like it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like, I'm thinking to myself, like, oh, why is everyone being so nice? Everyone's flattering me. This can't possibly be true. And my work is that good. Like, everyone's just flattering me. Everyone's flattering me. It's kind of like the equivalent of, like, my, whenever, like, that's when something started. Like, initially, back as, like, middle school or so, I would write the messages for the Mother's Day cards. And surprisingly, they liked it. I would kind of outdo my own sister when, like, I would take, like, half the card for myself, just writing the card for myself. And, like, it was kind of, like, starting there. And then eventually, back in high school, I remember one day my English teacher, Ms. Kieran Levy, she gave us a bound poetry assignment, which was, I gave you these list of words, you could turn it into a poem. I got it back, and she wrote on the left side of the sheet, Oswald, you're a poet. So that's kind of how I knew that, like, okay, there's something here. And it was just like end of high school, heading into college. It kind of, like, was sort of on the back burner because I turned to my first iteration of my blog, and I eventually gave up on it because I'm like, okay, I don't have anything else to say. I'm going to class, like, eventually, because John Jay College of Criminal Justice, where I have my alma mater, like, it's Columbus Circle, and eventually Central Park. So every now and again, I would, like, once class ended or in between, I would go walking around Manhattan. Most of the time, I did not really stay on campus, per se. Now, the campus as a whole, like, it took up most of 11th and 12th Avenue, and they have, like, the kind of a quad, or as much of a quad as you're going to get from Manhattan. But back then, I would just, like, spend my free time when I didn't have to do papers or reading or studying. I would spend my time walking around Manhattan. So, like, I gave up on my writing for a little bit until May 2013. When my friend Stephanie Infante, a friend and high school classmate, like, she told me, like, Oswald, you should start a blog. And I ended up hearing from my cousin, Chris, a few months earlier, October 2012, when I came back home from Paris and London, I spent the week there. I wrote this really long Facebook post the morning after I returned home. So it's like, that's where the whole idea of the blog came in. But it wouldn't be until now when I kind of pivoted years later into what I'm doing now. But occasionally I do write longer pieces. Like, it allows me to daydream, particularly for my newsletter. Like, it allows me to daydream, like, myself years down the line, which was something I already, like, was previously doing. Have written, like, copies of, like, small plays that I would write, just giving me a glimpse of the future. So I just, like, it all, like, beginning to come back
well,
around.
Well, you know, it's one of those times that if you're going to come back around to your creative outlet, now is the perfect time. And having, so I'm going to be releasing this episode on the 27th. So it's going to coincide with your book release, and your website's going to be up that day too, right? So we'll make sure that all that information is in the show notes so that people can link to it. But, you know, as before we go, what would you recommend to anyone that kind of, you know, maybe has always found a love of writing, but maybe they haven't given themselves a chance to dive in. Like, what would you recommend for those writers that maybe don't totally realize that they're a writer?
I would recommend that they still just put it out, put your writing out there. There's bound to be an audience for your work. Like, just don't let the inner critics, the outside negativity, stop you. Everyone has their voice. Everyone has something to say. Don't let the negativity or inner criticisms stop you from doing it. Just put it out there. There's bound to be an audience that's willing to read what you have, and there will be people that like it enough to tell their friends, and eventually word of mouth spreads it around.
Well, I think, you know, all that experience that you've had just in this last year, I mean, going from not wanting to turn your camera on when you're, you know, in your small accountability group, to being in a hot seat and being on Kathy's podcast and being on a number of other podcasts throughout this year and now putting out a book. I think you're a perfect example of just, if you keep doing it, you grow just a little bit every time in your comfort and in getting rid of that kind of inner critic a little bit, feeling a little less like an imposter. I don't think it totally ever goes away, but I think it gets easier to tell that inner critic to shut up, you know, say, no, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm doing my thing and this is good. So I look forward to your book when it comes out, and I look forward to continuing to follow you on Instagram and seeing your poems. And I know everyone's already saying, well, volume 2 and volume 3, because you're writing so much now. But I say, celebrate this volume 1 and really let it sink in. Keep saying yes to those things that speak to your heart, and maybe don't question them too much. Go with your gut a little bit more, and then it's going to lead you in the right direction. So thank you for your time today. And I'm, like I said, I'm very excited. Make sure you visit Oswald's website at oswaldperez.com and follow him on Instagram at oswaldperez85. I hope you enjoyed this bonus episode. We will be back to a regular Wednesday episodes. Episode 2 will be coming out soon, so keep an eye for that. And maybe it's time for you to make a creative pivot of your own.